D News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2019. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackanddrea.com. Jack and Drea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We're tackling a tough topic on this portion of the morning show, one of the very, very toughest, actually, and something that's also really important for us to talk about, because for too many years it was all but impossible to carry on an open conversation about suicide. But it is a reality, and we make it even worse when we are unable to talk about it and share stories about it. And it is a problem that cannot possibly be adequately addressed unless we begin to have meaningful conversations about it. Thankfully, that is beginning to happen more and more. And one piece of that here in southeastern Wisconsin has been the work of an organization called Just Live Incorporated, founded 10 years ago and created with the intention of doing focused and energetic work for 10 years. So we are talking now towards the very end of the time of Just Live Incorporated as they host the Labor of Love Music Festival, which is going to be coming up on Sunday, September 1st at New Munster Ballpark from 12 until 6:30. We have three people with us in the WGTD studios who have been very much involved with Just Live Incorporated. I'm really honored to have here Kelly Wilson, who is co-founder of Just Live Incorporated, Mark Mullins, a former president of the organization, and Robert Stevens, who is a very busy consultant assisting with Just Live on a number of different levels. And they have very ambitious goals in terms of wanting to raise a generous amount of money towards this important issue and cause. So, Kelly Wilson, Mark Mullins, Robert Stevens, we welcome all three of you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good to have you here. Kelly Wilson, as a co-founder, I think this first question needs to go to you. And please tell us about the creation of this organization, Just Live Incorporated, 10 years ago. What is the background we need to know?
Well, thank you, first of all, for letting us share our story here. It is very near and dear to all three of our hearts. The organization started back in August of 2009 when my daughter, Jamie Lee Wilson, we lost her to depression and suicide at the age of 21. She was a beloved daughter, granddaughter, sister, cousin, friend to all of us. After our community had lost two more individuals in the coming year, we felt compelled to do something about it. We are a grassroots group who is devised of family, friends, neighbors, retired Navy commanders, school supervisors, administration, just general people that are truly caring and compassionate about our cause. In 2010, we started our first music festival to raise money for other organizations that we felt could use some funding. There's a lot of organizations out there that have programs in place. However, they don't have the funding to continue those programs or make them successful. So we started the music festival, and in 2012, we decided to develop our nonprofit organization, Just Live, Inc. That way, we continue the music festival as a healing process for the survivors, to show our dedication and devotion to our loved ones for this cause, and to say that it'll be our labor of love to work endlessly as a community to end this illness so that they will not have to die in vain. So the heart and soul of this organization was created by five individuals in a community who were a huge part of Jamie Wilson's life. We chose to honor Jamie's memory and all those lost to the illness. And while the numbers continue to grow, we continue to fight so we can hold on and help others.
Very good. So that tells us when and why and, in a sense, how this organization was first created. I'm just curious, Kelly Wilson, had you ever done anything like this before? That is, are you the kind of person who sees a need and creates an organization, or was this, in a sense, a first-time effort for you? Have you ever been part of anything like this before?
My father was a huge part of fundraising throughout my entire life. So we had plenty of experience as a family and a community of raising money for support the troops, MS, and there's several other ones in there, Maryville Orphanage in Des Plaines, Illinois. So it was kind of in my blood. And we continue that. We were good money raisers, so we thought we could carry that on, raising money for our passionate cause.
Very good. Mark Mullins, you've been a president of this organization. Can we hear a little bit about why you wanted to become part of Just Live Incorporated?
Well, I'm from the same community as Kelly, Small Lake, Lily Lake in Western Kenosha County. I've known Kelly since she's moved to Lily Lake in 68. My family has been going back there for many, many years. It's a small lake. Everyone, it's a small community there. So my brothers and sisters grew up with Kelly's brothers and sisters. I was a little bit older. And then my children played with Kelly's children. So my children played with Jamie and Jordan, and all the kids hung out there. When Labor of Love first started, my company and my brothers and sisters were active as far as sponsoring it. My son was very active in the day-to-day stuff. The day of the event, I think he was in the dunk tank a few times and enjoyed it. He too suffered from depression and suicide. So when he died 5 years ago, we knew where to go. And this organization, besides putting on a wonderful show every year, heals the heart. They come in, encircle you, and help you. And that's what they did. They guided the Mullins family through this terrible event. But through terrible things, good things happen.
Of course.
And being able to work with this board, work with these people, has been such a positive experience for my wife and my daughters. Without them, I'm not sure where we would be.
Right.
And you asked about Kelly, the Wilson and Riley family. They can throw a great party. That's what they're wonderful at, and they're very good at. And so can the Mullinses. So we hooked up with these guys. When my son died, we donated money to Just Live, and they brought us in and decided. Really, what they don't know about is that when my son died, I decided immediately that's where I was going. So I had made my mind up immediately where I was going, because I'd said my son's funeral. We're going to fight this thing somehow, some way. Didn't have a plan in my head yet, but had an idea. And so we've worked very well together. And I think if you take a look at what this organization has done for being such a small grassroots organization in Western Kenosha County, the good we have done as far as the money we've raised, we have done, I think, an unbelievable job at identifying local organizations, state organizations, and Marquette University for funding that normally wouldn't have happened in the last 10 years. And we've made a difference. If you want to go into the organization to be funded, I can go into that now, or we can do that later. But I think if you take a look at our focus as far as last year, we take a look at what we funded last year was NAMI of Kenosha. you know, it was a small one. Then we also funded Catholic Charities of for their bilingual program in Milwaukee. We also funded Rogers Memorial Hospital so kids who had insurance could get gas money to go visit their counselors.
Mm.
We also funded a local school group that kids did not have the insurance money. We paid the money for them to go see counselors.
Mm.
We funded Project Predict. Project Predict was we gave them $10,000 for their hardware so they could run a program. Once again, we were talking about before we got on the air of different professions that lead themselves to suicide, one of them being first responders, them coming on the scene. Mm-hmm. Typically, they get done and they're drinking at the end of the day. Somewhere they do it. So Project Predict was a study done by the University of Chicago. It's being written up right now. And so people can use biometrics to come down after a shift, either by breathing techniques, talking to counselors, something like that. So this was funded a year ago. It's being implemented by Burlington. I think they're talking about it now. So I think the meeting was earlier this week. They're hoping for this to be a statewide event. We've given about $75,000 to Hopeline. And I think this money is – we're always looking to see if it's sustainable, the money we're given really works. And I think if you take a look at what we gave the Hopeline met one of our board members about 3 or 4 years ago up at Wisconsin State Suicide Prevention
Conference.
Mm-hmm. They needed $25,000 to fund a texting service for the state of Wisconsin. We gave them that money. Mm. We've given them a lot of money since then. They have saved over 100 lives.
Wow.
They can tell you when is the most stressful time of a teenager's life, and that's lunchtime on Monday morning.
Mm.
So Monday afternoon, noontime, you come in there, that's when they start getting this texting service. Those people have done a wonderful job. And the last one I think we've had great success with is Marquette University. We've given Marquette $75,000 so far. And when we met with the people from Marquette, we said, we want you to fund studies that are pie in the sky, you know, just something that normally wouldn't be done. Marquette has taken that $75,000, pooled that with some other money, and in the last year they've gotten over $3.5 million worth of grants based on that money.
Wow.
So we're looking for long-term solutions. We're looking for short-term solutions. We're looking for any solution at all to solve this problem.
And I think one of the things that is really praiseworthy about your mission and your attitude is you're not trying to invent the wheel here. You are really you know full well, in fact, probably in the wake of the tragedies that you yourselves experienced, you know that there are entities out there working hard on this, and you want to help them. And I think sometimes when organizations like this get started, it isn't necessarily with that kind of purpose in mind. And I think you're trying to help the people already working on this issue so hard who need help to be able to work on it even harder and do even more.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, great idea.
And the great thing about this state, there's many organizations like us throughout this state. Hmm. I mean, there are. I mean, as you walk around and not walk around, as you get involved in this more, and you see them up in Milwaukee, you see Racine, you see NAMI, you see these. They're out there,
right.
And so if people need help, you can reach out there,
right.
And it'll be there for you.
Hmm. Robert Stevens, we have not heard from you yet. tell us, first of all, what you do primarily as a consultant for Just Live Incorporated, and if there's any particular reason why. It was important for you to help them out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work with a lot of different organizations, and I've had the experience of seeing how a lot of them operate. And the connection with Just Live happened while I was working with a local choir in Kenosha. And a member of theirs came to one of our shows and then afterwards approached us about getting involved and helping essentially spread their message more into Kenosha and reach a different demographic. And just in getting to know them, you know, this, if there was a way to sum up Just Live and the people that are the architects, it's heart. I have never met a group with more heart than Just Live. Of all the groups I've ever worked with, you can't ask for a kinder group of people or more generous group of people. And so when you're faced with that, it compels you to be involved. It compels you to be a part of it. So I've slowly worked my way into trying to help more and more. A lot of what I'm doing with them now is focused around this music festival and really getting the message out there. They had three goals when they started. The first goal was to sustain a 10-year focus on this issue, bringing awareness to it. The second was to raise $1 million. And the third was to have Trample by Turtles headline. And fortunately, this is the 10th year. Trample by Turtles is headlining, and that $1 million, we're right on the doorstep. So we're right there, and with a little bit more support from the community, we can absolutely meet that goal.
Wow. And wouldn't that be a great thing to see happen?
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking about the organization Just Live Incorporated, which is focused on suicide prevention. And we have with us Kelly Wilson, the co-founder of the group, Mark Mullins, a past president, and Robert Stevens, who is a consultant for them, a member of the Kenosha Chamber Choir, and it was through that that he became involved in this organization and in this effort. I think it was with Robert and Mark before you arrived, Kelly, that we were talking about the difficulty that exists in just talking about this. When this occurs, it's a hard thing for someone who has suffered this in their life to talk about with others, and it's certainly hard for people who care about you to know what to say. And so, in a sense, that difficulty of communicating about this heartbreak is in it goes in both directions, and so it's little wonder that it is so hard to talk about. That being said, we're probably going in the right direction in terms of there being a little more openness about this. I wonder if the two of you, Kelly and Mark, could just speak to that. I mean, if in your own lives what you have experienced in terms of how hard this is to talk about versus if you feel like it's a little better now in terms of people being open to exploring this and talking about it.
I guess I'll jump in first. Greg, I told you a story where we had met a person whose son died by suicide, and this person couldn't even say the word suicide. And I come from the opposite way. When my son died, I wanted to scream it out. I wanted to say, hey, we got a problem here, guys. If we don't talk about this, we are never going to solve it. So I come from that area, but everyone is different. I mean, I've met many other survivors, and everyone's a little bit different. I think I would like to see more people like myself, because I think the only way you solve a problem is by attacking it. And I look at the way the gay community attacked AIDS and how they were vocal and how they got out there. And I tip my hat to them. And I think a typical suicide parent or brother or sister or friend or whatever, you were taught to go into a shell and not talk about it and hide. You know, that was the way society was. And I think it's changing? 3 years ago, I didn't. When Robin Williams died and everyone said, oh, they're talking about it. No, I didn't see it. I mean, it kind of went down by the wayside. Then you had Anthony Bodine and Kate Spade died. I see it better that way. But now I'm starting to see it more and more. I'm starting to see it where I just saw, we just talked about in the last meeting about fire departments, part of their training now will be about depression and stress, you know. Not getting away from that macho culture of, okay, we're just going to fight. No, there's a problem. We have to talk about it. And so I do see that as a huge positive change. I think this younger generation gets it. The older generation is still, no, we can't talk about it. There's something wrong. There's, you know, that person's going to hell or whatever. And, you know, that's not the way it is, guys. I mean, you take a look at suicide today, most of these people, it's the drugs they're taking. You know, the drugs they take, that can kill you too, you know. So the reaction to that, that's why we're working with Marquette to come up with different solutions for that. But no, I think I look at it as I want to yell it, I want to shout it, I want to talk about it all the time, and I want to solve it. Because I think you can solve it. I think in the future they will be able to solve it. It's just a matter of attacking the problem.
Right. Kelly Wilson, I'm just curious for you, because I think Mark Mullins is absolutely right. Everybody is a little bit different. For you, was it difficult to talk about this openly in the wake of it happening versus your ability or capacity to talk about it openly now?
You know, I'm right on board with Mark. I felt that knowledge is power, and you have to educate people on mental health just like you do physical health. You know, cancer is no different than depression, diabetes. You know, you have to let people know that have not experienced anybody with depression know what it's like, and then that it's okay. It's okay for someone to have cancer because you fight through it with each other. And so it's, yeah, the stigma, I feel that we're really making a difference, breaking that down, and doing our part. And that's all we can do. Hmm. We ask ourselves to do our part to make a difference, because we all have to do that.
Right. You know, and I'm sure it's made some difference. I mean, not that it takes away the hurt and the pain. Nothing really could. But I'm sure it has been some source of comfort to both of you to be doing something.
Absolutely.
About this versus just sitting in your own sorrow and just kind of letting it engulf you. You are as word fight is a great word to use it. Let's talk about the silence in the other direction. You've both made it clear that you were willing and wanting to talk about this openly. I'm curious, if you don't mind talking about it, what you experienced from others in terms of even close friends, even close family members who probably found it very difficult to know what to say. Can you share about that? Because I think that's an important part of this story.
You know, that's a tough one to answer, because those people usually wouldn't have talked to you. But what I found at Paxter's funeral is that I just hugged people. Mm. You know, I just hugged them because they don't know what to say. They're standing there. They're looking for something. If you hug them, it says it all. Mm. So I hugged hundreds of people
right.
one night.
Right.
So that was the best way to do it for me.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
we continue to hug hundreds of people because there are people that do come up to us who go through the same thing that we did, and that's all we can do is hug them as well. But, no, I think everybody grieves differently. Whether it's you who suffer the loss or the friends that feel your loss. So Mark is right. You know, hugs are great. And if people don't know what to say, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it really is okay, because it is what it is.
Right, yeah. You know? That's probably part of the stigma, is people feeling like they aren't adequate. They
right.
feel inadequate right, in terms too. Of, I'm sure there's something really important I should be saying right now, and sometimes no words are needed at all.
I think it's also important to kind of point out, like, just the nature of this Labor of Love Music Festival itself, just their approach and the fact that this is their event, it is an opportunity for people that don't know how to express, to attend something. It's not about having discussions about it necessarily. It's about attending. It's about celebrating life. So it's something that's accessible to everyone. And I think just in the fact that they've identified a way of holding an event around this subject that brings awareness but is inviting to anyone, no matter what stage of the grieving process, no matter what level of comfort they have, that they can be a part of it. It's clear, just the statistics alone, that this impacts a lot more people's lives than is discussed. And I think the disconnect occurs in that it impacts people, but they don't realize how frequently it's impacting. Mm. In the United States alone, between the ages of 15 and 34, it's the second leading cause of death.
Wow.
Second only to accidental injury.
Wow.
So it is happening, and it's happening a lot more frequent than people realize, but there's that disconnect of knowing that it's okay to talk about it and having a place to express. And I think the beauty of this music festival is it's a place that they can express in other ways than words to be a part of it, and to let art and let music influence them and be their therapy for a day.
So, in other words, this is not a big seminar on suicide prevention. No. It isn't that kind of event at all.
It's a Riley party.
Oh, you forgot the Mullins. Come on.
Yeah, right. There
just
you go.
The Mullins family.
Right.
It's a fun event. We want to make it fun. We don't want to hit anybody over the head with any message whatsoever. I think what we do have is we have a talking tent there. And that's at one corner away from the main stage. And we have counselors, trained counselors there. So if you do feel you want to talk to somebody, you can go talk to them.
Hmm.
And when I first became president of this, I just walked around the entire fest, and I was at one end by the children's activities, and somebody came up to me, and they said, what a safe event this is. What a fun event it is. And then I went over to the talking tent, and they told me the same thing, which is on opposite sides of the park. And I, growing up in the 60s and 70s, I'd never gone to a concert. It was a safe event. I've never expected something like that. So it is a safe event that people can feel safe, but also have a very, very good time. So we want you to come out and enjoy the music. We have raffles. We have prizes. We have stuff like that. We have a magic act, which is phenomenal. He really is my – I've got some tough critics out there as far as nieces and nephews are small, and they give them a thumbs up.
Oh,
so
right.
It's a lot of fun. We have face painting, so it's a family affair. The tickets are $30, but if you're under 13, you're free.
Hmm.
So we encourage you to bring your family members and make a day of it.
Yeah.
So we'll have the food. It will be
food trucks, food vendors, beer, wine. We have also a butterfly release. We've done a dove release in the past. This year we're going to try something different with the butterflies. So,
Tell me more about what that moment is and what it signifies.
Well, sometimes just having a release of the doves in the past, you felt a sense of their home doves. They go back home.
Mm.
And you want your loved one who you lost to suicide, or maybe you've attempted suicide, you feel a sense of releasing that energy, whether it's negative energy or positive energy, and you're releasing your loved one to home.
Hmm.
And the same concept with the butterflies is that,
wow,
you know, it's just butterflies are beautiful creatures of nature, and that we all do the butterfly release at the same time would be just like the doves. And it's you know, we hope to have 500 to 1,000 butterflies released. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Very special.
Yeah.
One of the things we have not talked about yet is your headline act, Trampled by Turtles. Robert Stevens, tell us about that and tell us why you're so excited about that.
They are an incredible group. They are a collection of artists is the best way to put it, versus going and seeing a band where you got maybe, you know, three front people that are really out there. This is a huge collection of talented musicians that have a massive following. I was not aware of how big they were when we first set out on this. And then doing research and following them on fan forums online, there is one couple I just saw the other day that live in California that have spent this entire summer following them around the United States to every festival they played at.
Wow.
And just an avid following of people. And I'll run into people and mention the event, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we had so-and-so that just stayed at our Airbnb just to catch them, and they were from, you know, somewhere down in Kansas City. And so the travel that their fans have is incredible. The performance they put on is amazing because it's just a massive jam of music. They have had three number one Billboard albums. They've had a ton of top chart songs that have been featured in TV shows like Deadliest Catch and Ray Donovan. They've really been out there, and they're a gem right out of the Duluth area in Minnesota, and they have a very avid fan base there as well. And so we're really excited about the fact that they're coming out to play the festival because of the draw that they bring, but also because of their passion for this cause and that they've committed to being a part of this and supporting this with us.
Wow. Yeah, I suspect that more and more any organization or any artist that caters to young people, before too long you become aware of this issue of young people committing suicide or attempting suicide, and in a sense, it's no surprise whatsoever that a group like Trampled by Turtles cares about this issue as much as they do. By the way, do you know anything behind that intriguing title, Trampled by Turtles?
I'm not sure what the origin of that title
is. I was going to look that up, and I didn't.
It's great.
Well, it is, but we found an intriguing fact out this week from Robert. I'll let Robert tell the story.
Yeah, we've been doing all this information on Trampled by Turtles and following up with them. And my wife just started looking online one day about a little bit of information on them, and she sees a familiar face and realizes that she worked in Minneapolis with their cello player for over 5 years when he was a teenager.
Whoa.
So it's just, and we've had a bunch of strange occurrences like that through this whole process of weird ties that we found to this group or connections to people we know that have known people or followed them for such a long time. So it's, you know, when we talk about heart and this organization really embodying heart, this is a band that also has that. When you see them play, when you see them perform, it's with a lot of heart, and you really feel that come through in their music. And I just can't imagine a better pairing.
Hmm. And we should probably make sure people don't misunderstand. Just because somebody in the group plays the cello does not mean they're playing Mozart string quartets for this festival.
No, not likely. And when you see them on stage, like I said, it's not like, you know, you got two or three front men out there and the drummer hidden in the background. These guys, they spread the stage and they are all out there, front performers putting on an act. So it's incredible.
They're exciting talents.
They
for
gift
sure.
their fans yeah. is what they do, yeah. and they get the audience engaged in linking arms with friends and strangers. So it's really, it's a great blend.
Right. So do I understand correctly that this is likely the final Labor of Love Music Festival? And can you talk about that?
No, it's not the final. It's the final year that Just Love Inc. will be involved in it.
Ah.
So what we've done since the last 10 years, we've built up a tremendous crowd. We've got the local people used to coming on a Sunday of Labor Day weekend at this fest. We didn't want to see it go by the wayside. So we've hooked up with NAMI of Kenosha.
Ah.
And those wonderful people, we've been working with them this year. We're trying to teach them the ropes, and next year they'll take it over. And so this event will keep going. That was our plan because we wanted to keep going. We think it's good for the community. In fact, we never talked about – we'll have, besides the board, we'll have over 200 local volunteers from the community that work at this fest. So these people are you know, engaged in this cause and want to help. So we want them to keep having the job on Sunday afternoon, Labor Day weekend. But so, no, it's going to continue. We will guide them that next year and then step back and let them run it. So we're very excited. We're very excited for them to take over. They're wonderful people, and it's going to be I look forward to going next year without having to worry too much.
Right, exactly. And just have fun. Well, and that's what this is all about. I'm just curious, when this event first got crafted and was right from the start a really celebratory kind of event, did you have any moments of hesitation about that? Since obviously the cause that it is addressing is a very serious one, and in a sense a serious cause that has a lot of sorrow, and yet you didn't want this event to be an event about sadness at all. Did that always feel right to you? To make this a joyous event?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. I mean, we want to embrace life. We want to celebrate it. We want to get the message out there, obviously, but we want to say, hey, this is something you can talk about. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be a depression conversation. You can have it over a couple of beers, listen to good music, and say, hey, this is how you solve the problem. Then you have, when these people go home, they talk about it. And that's what we want. We want people to, what's the event about? Well, it's about suicide, depression, is about mental health. And so we want that long-lasting effect. In fact, we have magnets that we give out at parades and things like that, and it's every year has the event on there. So it's this Sunday of Labor Day weekend, and it's a happy event. So people put that up on their refrigerators, and so it's a talking thing. hey, what's that refrigerator? What's that magnet up there for? It's just what's it about?
Hmm.
And you have the discussion that way.
Our focus really was just education. Hmm. You know, we wanted to educate so people didn't have to end up in our situation with their arms up in the air and like, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Because, you know, we kind of felt that way.
Right. Well, and I suspect that when this happened to you, when you lost your daughter, when you lost your son, that this is something you had not experienced in your life before that. I mean, I'm assuming that anyway, that nobody close to you had experienced this kind of loss before.
Well, I had experienced a loss of a brother-in-law, I think it was 20 to 25 years prior to that.
Oh.
So I had some experience, but you know, we all families deal with mental health in their family members with depression or friends with depression. So I don't think it's unknown to a majority of society. So,
yeah, one way or another, it touches just about all of
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
My nephew, Adam, died by suicide. He was about 10 years older than Patrick. So they hit home close. But then you numb yourself and you kind of forget about it.
Mm.
But when it's your own child, it's a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
And I kick myself that I didn't do anything more when Adam died. You know, what if you did this? What if you attacked it differently?
Mm.
And so I, you know, I've got those feelings. But, yeah, it happens. It happens, and then you have to you put your life back together again.
Right.
Some way.
And this has been one way to do that. And beyond the good it has done to you who are involved in this is all of the good that is rippling outward from this event. It's incredible, and I'm glad we can talk about it today. Robert Stevens, since you're the PR man, why don't you spell out all the information that our listeners need to know about attending the Labor of Love Music Festival coming up on September 1st?
Absolutely. So you can get tickets now online to the festival. They're on Eventbrite. You can also find them through the organization's page, which is justliveinc.org. You can even go to Trampled by Turtles' site, and it's on their tour spot list, and you can find tickets that way. They even have a listing showing you local accommodations that you can take advantage of. The event is on Sunday, September 1st. It's from noon to 6:30. It's at the New Munster Ballpark in New Munster, Wisconsin, or Burlington, Wisconsin, depending on how your GPS tells you to get there. but we would love to have you out. It's a huge family fun event. There are a lot of activities geared toward kids. I bring my kids out there to the event, and they absolutely love it every year. The music is incredible. The setup is incredible out there. The bands, in addition to Trampled by Turtles, we have a couple other amazing bands that are going to be opening up the show that day. So we invite people to come out, celebrate, enjoy the entire day, enjoy some of the food trucks and vendors that are out there, and be a part of it. And you know, there are resources that will be available to you out there, so please do get involved. Don't be afraid to reach out to us with questions. We've had a lot of people reach out to us through the website with questions on the event or just questions in general, and this group is very inviting to people like that. So come out, visit us on September 1st, and then continue to support the cause.
Very good.
If I could just add, we are rain or shine. Bring your lawn chairs and blankets. And there will be tickets available at the door as well. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get a chance to get them online, you can certainly get them at the door.
Very good. I hope a lot of people will make a point of being part of this exciting event. Kelly Wilson, co-founder. Mark Mullins, past president of Just Live Incorporated. Robert Stevens, handling PR for the Labor of Love Music Festival coming up on Sunday, September 1st. My thanks to you for being part of the morning show today, and my thanks to you for all of this good work on this very important cause. Best wishes to all of you.
Thank you.
It's 8:49, and you are listening to The Morning Show on WGTD-HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. As was mentioned in the preceding interview, the headliner for the Labor of Love Music Fest on September 1st is the outstanding bluegrass band from Duluth, Minnesota, Trampled by Turtles. I had the pleasure of recording an interview with their mandolin player, Eric Berry, and that interview will air in its entirety next Thursday on the morning show. But here is an excerpt from our conversation. So, tell us about your road into Trampled by Turtles, and it sounds like you were there right from the beginning. Tell us the story of how this wonderful group was put together.
Well, we started up in Duluth, Minnesota, and we started as a four-piece, and currently we have six members. Nobody's ever left, though, so the original four guys are still there.
Wow, and I can't tell you how rare it is to hear that. So that's cool. How did the four of you know each other or find each other? How was it that you were all in Duluth at the time?
So two of the guys went to Duluth to go to school, to UMD, to University of Minnesota Duluth. And then the other two of us, myself and our bass player Tim Saxog, we actually moved up there to play music. Our Tim and my stories are a little different, but at the end of the day, we had the opportunity to join bands that were based out of Duluth, and so we took that opportunity and moved up to do that. Our banjo player Dave Carroll moved up to go to school, and so did our lead singer and guitar player Dave Simonette. And Dave was in a band that was playing a lot. Dave Simonette, I should say. And Tim was in a band that was playing a lot. And I was in a band that was playing a lot. And I actually played bass in that band. And so we knew each other through that experience. You know, our bands would play bills together. The first time I ever met Dave Simonette, he and his the drummer in his band, they came out to watch our band play because we had a weekly gig on Thursdays and he had a weekly gig on Thursdays and they had a Thursday off. So they were like, well, let's check out the other Thursday night band. And they introduced themselves to us at set break, which was pretty fun. And we wound up jamming a few songs together that night. And that's from 2001, and there's an old photo floating around of that, which is pretty cool.
Because that really is the beginning in many respects.
I think Dave and Tim might have played together even earlier than that. But when what became Trampled started rolling together, a few different things were happening. One of them was that I had rediscovered discovered my mandolin, was because I didn't really play it when I moved up to Duluth because I was focusing on playing bass in this band and doing some other stuff. So I was playing it again and looking to play it with somebody. Dave Simonette actually had his electric guitar stolen, and so by default was focused on doing acoustic stuff. And Dave and Tim had been put together in a special project that a local guy who owned Pizza Luce had put together for his birthday, and they had discovered they could sing together very well. And then Dave Simonette and I had played a couple of duo shows, and Dave Carroll, our banjo player, saw one of those and came up and introduced himself to us and said, I play banjo, and I was hearing banjo parts in my head to you guys. So, you know, kind of these different things are happening. You know, like three of us are, like, friendly with each other. Dave's looking to do something acoustic. I'm looking to play mandolin. Dave Carroll's looking to play banjo with somebody. And Dave Simonette and Tim Saxog had discovered that they sing together really well. And this is all kind of happening in the summer through the fall of 2002.
Right. So it's just like the timing was propitious for all of you. You're all in the right time and the right place to just kind of come together.
Pretty much, you know, and there really isn't I remember the moment that Dave Carroll came up to Dave Simonette and I and said, hey, guys, let me give you my phone number. I play banjo. Please call me. But, and I don't want to take anything away from that moment, but it's not particularly dramatic either. You know what I mean? And they're all kind of like that. It's just a really natural, like, oh, we should, you know, I know a guy who plays bass and he can sing really well. Let me call him. Like, oh, it's Tim. I know Tim. Tim's great. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. So it's not like the clouds parted and the angels were singing. It just sort of happened. And here you are all these years later, still together.
Right, and even the way the other two guys joined is very much like that. You know, we played a couple of gigs with a band called Pert Near Sandstone, and their fiddle player, Ryan Young, Dave asked him to play with him at a couple solo shows. And then when we wound up doing a show together, we're like, hey, Ryan, you want to jam with us? And it worked out that Pert Near and Trample did shows together off and on for a couple of years because we're both from Minnesota. And then we kind of poached him away from them, but you know, that's how he joined. And we did a tour with a band that had a cello player named Eamon McLean. And Ryan was trying to play a cello part on one of our songs, you know, in 2012 on our record Stars and Satellites for the song Alone. And he was like, I just can't do it. We should call this cello player we met last year. I'm like, okay, give him a call, you know. And then that guy wound up, you know, hanging out with us, and he was a great fit. So, like, all six of us have kind of joined, like, in a very similar way. Like, I know a guy. He's good.
Right.
You know?
Eric Berry is the mandolin player and one of the charter members of the outstanding bluegrass band Trampled by Turtles. They are the headliner for the upcoming Labor of Love Music Festival out in New Munster on Sunday afternoon, September 1st. You can hear my complete interview with Eric Berry on Thursday's morning show, in which he talks, among other things, about how he came up with that wonderful name, Trampled by Turtles. And here is the group and a portion of their wonderful song called Alone. That was the talented bluegrass band Trampled by Turtles with a portion of their song called Alone. They are the headliners for the Labor of Love Music Fest out in New Munster on Sunday, September 1st. To finish out the hour, we want to remind you about tonight's concert by the Racine Symphony Orchestra, their Lakeside Pops concert, which will feature a number of different talented Racinian guest soloists, and also a number of different orchestral favorites, including a delightful piece by Leroy Anderson, the longtime composer in residence of the Boston Pops. One of the pieces played tonight by the Racine Symphony will be Leroy Anderson's The Typewriter. Here it is in his original recording. Thank you. The Typewriter, one of the pieces played tonight by the Racine Symphony for their Lakeside Pops concert, which is 7 o'clock tonight at Festival Hall. If you would like ticket information, you can call 262-636-9285.